See each of you back in the house of God tonight to support these meetings. Mastering the English Bible, Volume 1, 2-week meeting, 46 sessions. And we are moving through the book of Genesis very quickly now. We've come to the life of Jacob, and he is heading up to Haran, and he is going to get a wife from up there, and he stops in Bethel, stops in a place called Luz. But he's the one that renames it, and he has, in Genesis 28, he has a vision of the ladder up to heaven. In Genesis 28, as we read this afternoon, and so here we are on the way to Haran. Verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other than but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And so there's Jacob, and this amazing event, God revealing himself to this man. And so now, the blessing was Abraham's, and it passed to Isaac, and now to Jacob. And now, Jacob's going to be the father of Israel. To 12 sons, whole big mess, 2 wives, and 12 sons, and most of them were a mess. This is the beginning of Israel, and Jacob's a mess too, at this particular point in his life. You can see it here. And so, but God is not a mess, and God is the one that is bringing all this to pass. God's the one that knows what he's doing. And in all these situations, none of these people half knew what they were doing or knew at all what they were doing. We don't either. But God knows what he's doing. And if we will follow the word of God, we'll end up in the right place. And so God reaffirmed Abraham's covenant to Jacob. Jacob didn't do anything to deserve that. He certainly did not deserve it by anything he was or did. Certainly not. It's God's sovereign choice. We see God giving his revelation piece by piece to the holy prophets. Piece by piece. So that finally we have the whole thing. But God saw it all before it was given piece by piece to these prophets. That's miraculous. 100% supernatural book. We see that ladder and the angels. It typifies the activity of God on this earth. Men can't see God, so they don't believe in God or they don't think about God. But God is 100% active on this earth. In Him we live and move and have our being, Paul told the Athenians. Live and move and have our being. We don't have one breath without God. The angels are active. God is active. By Him all things consist. Everything has to do with God. Everything. He's chosen to hide Himself so that we're required to believe these things by faith. It's good stuff. The Bible is just beautiful. The ladder and the angels. The angels are very active. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels. I look forward to seeing angels. I don't know that I've ever actually met any. The Bible says you can entertain them unawares because they look like men, not like winged women. That would stand out if you met a winged woman. But they're men. They look like men. Always in the Bible is when they appear. God's not far away. He's in control of everything on earth. That's the ladder to heaven. Angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And it also typifies Christ as the mediator between God and man. There's a lot in that image there. But Jacob continues to display his tricky character. Now God gave him an absolute promise. I'm going to take care of you. And here's Jacob just ignoring that and making a deal with God. A deal. If you take care of me, I'll tithe. Now that's got to impress God because God needs something. This is tricky Jacob. And he has a lot to learn at this point. And he's learned some of it when he comes back, as we'll see. And he learns more of it there at the river when he wrestles with the angel. But he's got a lot to learn. God's bringing him along. Makes a deal with God. This was God's unconditional covenant of grace. God pledged himself solemnly from heaven that he's going to take care of him. What more does he need? He's not listening. He's not listening. Makes a deal with God. And so he goes on up to Haran. And he doesn't know what he's going to find there, but he's going to find something there. That situation when he arrives in chapter 29, and he meets Rachel. He meets Rachel out at the well. And that's where Eliezer had met Rebecca out at the well. These women going out to get the water and to feed the livestock. Women doing that. And this is happening in this situation. And Jacob, being a man of activity, he jumps right into the situation. Genesis 29, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. That was their custom. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? They said, of Haran, Ari. He said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? They said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? They said, he's well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And lo and behold. And he said, lo, it's yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. They said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together and till they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. He wasn't waiting for anybody. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." He was a big talker. And he abode with him the space of a month. Laban said to Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." It's a little bit of a strange answer. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. 7 years laboring for Laban. 7 years. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. 14 years. And he only wanted one wife. But so he met a tricky man. Tricky Jacob met a tricky man who out-tricked him. Situation. 20 years, difficult experiences in Haran. God was in control of all of it. Every detail. God was in control of it. Working out his plans. Just like when he sent Moses 40 years in the backside of the desert and on. God prepares his people. And there were at least three purposes for those 20 years of difficult experiences. Jacob was receiving retribution for his own deceit. The Bible warns that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God was working in Jacob's life to mold him spiritually. God had promised to bless him. He's God's man. And God was working out his eternal plan by creating the nation Israel through which to bring the law and the scriptures in Christ. God's doing lots of things at any moment. In every situation, God's doing all kinds of multiple things. And so, this Bible narrative, these chapters, 29, 30, 31, which we're not going to deal with except to see these highlights, they're just packed with instruction for us today. Packed. These narratives in the Old Testament of God's people. God handpicked certain events to record in Scripture and gave the prophets wisdom to record them precisely in the very words that God wanted them recorded for our benefit. The readers of the Bible, students of the Bible in these end times. And then we see the sons of Jacob. That's a major thing that happened here. Jacob had the two wives. Rachel and Leah. And that's never God's will. Multiple wives is not God's will. Never has been. God gave Adam one wife. It's all a man needs. Any more causes whole lots of trouble. It always did. And I know about polygamy more than most people do because we have polygamy in Nepal. And you thought I was going to say because I have two wives. My wife would kill me if I had two wives. And that's just never been anything I've wanted to deal with. We have a man in our church that has two wives. Two wives. And they are a blessing to our church. They got saved after they're sisters. Like this. They're sisters. And he married the older one, and then he married the younger one. And then he got saved because there was a younger also. Otherwise, he would have three wives. No doubt about it. She's never gotten married, that one. And so we know something about this, and it's just trouble. Trouble in Jacob's life. Trouble in anybody's life. Trouble in David's life. Trouble in Solomon's life. Never was God's will. But God is merciful. God overlooks, so to speak, a lot of things. Otherwise, we would all be dead. And that's for sure. And to Jacob were born those 12 sons that became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and then later Joseph, Benjamin. 12 sons. And they're all listed together in Genesis 35, 23 through 26. And they became, of course, 12 tribes of Israel. And so, having his wives and having his children and having learned a lot of lessons there at the hands of Jacob, Laban, Jacob departs. And he had to do it in the middle of the night, basically, because of Laban's character. In Genesis 30, 25 through 31, 55, Jacob had worked for Laban 14 years for his wives, and he wants to go home. And so he approached Laban for permission, Genesis 30, 25. He told Laban what he wanted to do. And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, Joseph also was born there, Benjamin was born later, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for that whom I have served thee. Let me go, for thou knowest my service which I've done thee. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. He said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how the cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hadst before I came. And it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? He said, what shall I give thee? Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that's not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Laban said, behold, I would, it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day that the he-goats that were ring-draped and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them unto the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest, in Laban's flocks. And so Jacob has a plan here, and he proposed that he would keep all the speckled and spotted and brown cattle as his hire, and Laban agreed. But Laban immediately removed all those from the flock. And there's nothing Jacob to do about any of this. And took him away, 3 days' journey away. And so sent Jacob 3 days' journey away with the non-marked cattle, which are not Jacob's. And so Jacob has to start out from scratch. And so he goes with that. By the law of selective breeding, this scheme should have kept Jacob from producing many marked cattle. Should have. But God was with him, and so it didn't. Laban's tricky plan didn't work. Jacob used rods of poplar and hazel and chestnut to control the breeding so that speckled, spotted, and brown cattle were produced. Now, what was this? We don't know for sure. Is this some kind of folk medicine, kind of folk thing? Was it a mere trick to hide Jacob's skill at selective breeding? We're not told. It's clear that Jacob understood selective breeding and applied it to the production of the strong cattle. He understood that. But God blessed him. That's the main thing. God blessed him in everything he did. God blessed him. And Laban had seen that and didn't want him to leave. And God then appeared in a dream to Jacob again and commanded him to return to the promised land. Genesis 31:11. The angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, he says to his wives, Jacob, saying, Jacob. I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, or ringstrakes speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So God reminded Jacob of what happened there in Bethel. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. That was Jacob's reputation with everybody. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Now that's a godly spirit in a wife, wives, to the husband in God's will. Whatever God says unto you, do it. We're with you. It's what churches need to say to pastors in God's will. Whatever God leads you to do, do it. We are with you. I mean, we're really with you. We ought to be passionate about these things. Verbal and passionate. With you, Pastor. It's a hard job. We're with you. We're not just right behind you. We're with you. Let's go. Let's go. Yes, sir. That's what the people ought to always say to godly authority. We don't blindly follow authority. We don't blindly follow authority. We test it with the Word of God. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. But when that authority is right, when it's clear that God is leading according to His Word, God's people need to go. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Dr. Robertson used to say, but everything also rises and falls on fellowship. It's equal. It really is. It's equal. And so they agreed, these wives, they're behind him. They're ready to go. They're ready to leave the father. Leave their home. They're ready to go. It's good stuff. Godly wives. In that particular case, they were. And so Jacob, God told him to leave, appeared in a dream and told him to leave. And so Jacob left without notifying Laban and traveled 3 days journey to Canaan before Laban was aware that he was gone. He had to. This man is going to physically keep him there. And so this was the way. Sometimes this is the way you have to deal with people. And when they're forceful and tricky and diminutive and all that stuff, you've got to deal with them however you have to. And then they charge you with doing things wrong. But whatever, he had to do this. He had to obey God more than man. You've got to be willing to do that, whatever it takes. Obey God more than man. Take out of there in the middle of the night. Get out of there. Get back in God's will. Get in God's will. Be in God's will. These are very powerful lessons. And so they took off, and their 3 days' journey. We know that they traveled down through Damascus, and then down. They're going down the King's Highway. We know that because they come to, where's their map on this? They come to Gilead. That's where Laban finally caught up with them, in Gilead. Let's see what we have here. Doesn't really show it there. All right, well, there's good maps in this, in the Moody Bible maps, I believe. Need to see these things in the maps. Need to know where everything is happening and reference to other things. Reference to other things. Here in this map on number 9, you can see Gilead. And so Damascus, and the road is coming down from the north, from where he came with his troop. And down and there, Laban caught up with him in Gilead, which is east, southeast of the Sea of Galilee. That's where he caught up with him. And then later, a little bit later, he goes over to Shechem, and his sons kill all the men of Shechem. That was a bad day. And so that's where they were. And Laban caught up with him and threatened him. But God appeared to Laban before he caught up with him and said, "Don't do anything to Jacob." That was good. Genesis 31, 17 through 23. God protected him just like he said he would. Jacob should have had no fears at all. He had the promises of God. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images which were her father's. And that's a strange situation. Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. Gilead, so there he is. It was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. He took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, "Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Leave him alone." And he did, but he didn't want to, but he did. And so they made a covenant there in Gilead, peace covenant, in verses 23 through 55. And swore to each other they would not pass over these stones that they made there to harm each other. And then Jacob goes on the way south from Gilead. In chapter 32 now, Genesis 32, Jacob was met by a host of angels. A host of angels. Jacob is seeing a lot of angels. And now there's a host in Genesis 32, 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. And the the host, the two camps. It means two camps. So we have a camp, and the host and the angels have a camp, and they're camped right beside us. And God was showing his hand of protection there, a host of angels. Don't be afraid of Esau or anybody. A host of angels. God opened Jacob's eyes. Nothing to fear. One angel destroyed a whole army. What's nothing to fear? Second time that Jacob had seen angels, and first time being in Bethel on the ladder. And so Jacob now was confronted with his brother coming. He got news there that his brother, he had sent messengers down to Mount Seir, which is Edom, to find out what's going on with Esau. Well, what's going on with Esau is that Esau's coming up there with 400 men. Why do you need 400 men to beat your brother? This is dangerous. This must not be good. Esau's not good by himself, let alone with 400 Confederates. Edomites. Scary stuff. Jacob should have been trusting God. He was not. Humanly speaking, this is definitely scary stuff. But it shouldn't have caused him any trouble. He wasn't trusting God. Should have had peace. Promises of God. We've got more. By the way, lots more. I love God's promises. And Jacob, but the presence of angels, he was always fearful. He continued to scheme. He made another scheme. He decided to send a large gift to Esau and appease him. Big gift. And he sent his family across the Jabbok River to the north and remained there alone with the God. This is amazing. Genesis 32:22. He rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And so he has crossed. Crossed over the Jabbok River, actually to the south, and goes along the south shore of the river, and then he sends his family back up across to the north, to Succoth. And he's there with God, and he's very afraid, and he's just in a mess. 400 men coming with Esau. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. 200 he-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. Now that's a huge gift. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. It's a good plan. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And whither goest thou? Whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold, also he's behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, after this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. Great plan. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept me. And so went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the fort Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had, all of his goods. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, a man. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Well, that's what God made him. That's God seeing Jacob through God's eyes, through redemption. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 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 for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. I have seen God face to face. That was not a man. Amazing prayer. God wrestling with God, Jacob wrestling with God all night. Hosea 12:4 says he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He had power over God. This is prayer. This is the amazing thing about prayer. This is prayer. We're shown some secrets, some deep secrets about prayer. Jacob persisted in earnestly in prayer. God said, let me go. Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. Well, is that audacious? No, not in that circumstance. Not when a man is praying properly, biblically, and knows he's got the will of God. Persistence is absolutely necessary. Holding on to God is absolutely necessary. It's spiritual warfare. If you don't learn how to do that, you won't get many prayers answered. Not big ones. Not really big ones. I like to pray for things I could not possibly do, Pastor. That's what I like to pray for. Things that there's no way I could do them or anybody else. It's got to be God. That's spiritual warfare. That's spiritual warfare. Jacob was learning about that. Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. I won't do it. Now, man can't not do that, of course. God lets man do this. God wants man to do this. God wants man to know him. It's God's plan. God wants man to pray. God wants men to have victories. God wants to use men. God allows this. Of course, Jacob can't wrestle with God. That's ridiculous. But God led him. God wanted him to. God wanted him to wrestle with him that night. God wanted him to learn things. God wanted to give him things. God wanted to see his desire for that thing, that passion. If we don't have passion in prayer, why should God have passion to answer them, one man said. Ah, these things about prayer here. I've lived in a country that's demon-possessed for 30 years. Learned a lot of things about spiritual warfare. And God allowed Jacob to wrestle with him all night. Can man really wrestle with the omnipotent God? Only if God allows it. But God has humbled himself to relate with man as a man. He became a man. He wanted to be a man. He is a man. God is a man. He wanted to be a man. He wanted to sit there in Martha and Mary's house, in Lazarus' house, and eat supper with them. God wanted to be a man. God is a man. He wanted to be. He is. He came to redeem us, but he wanted to be with us. He wanted to be there. That's his plan. When he made man, he wanted to be a man. And he planned to be a man. There's so many things here about how God acts with man. What is man, the psalmist said? What is man that thou thinkest upon him? God was in control of Jacob's life. God brought Jacob to this place. God saw this place before Jacob was ever born. God saw that river. God saw all of that because God is the one that arranged everything in Jacob's life to bring him to this place. This place. And the more I realize that God has arranged everything in my life, beginning with what family I was born in and how I look and everything about me and what color I am and everything about it and how much intelligence I have or don't have. God arranged all that. God planned all that for his purposes in my life and things that have happened to me or not happened to me. God, control of Jacob's life. He was preparing Jacob to be Israel. That's a big thing. Jacob is a big, big man in God's eternal plan. He is in eternity today. He is a big man today in that sense, in God's calling. Big. The father of Israel. Jacob didn't choose that. God chose that, and God is preparing Israel to be Israel. And it's 100% God. Man has to respond, but it's God doing these things. Jacob was just being brought along, really. Jacob was humbled, and Jacob surrendered to God that night in a way he had never done before. He was brought to a place he had never been before. God's workings, humbled and surrendered. Have you been there? It's not some place you be one time and then it's over. It's again and again. A humbling and a surrendering and taking your relationship with God really, really seriously. The day before, Jacob had prayed something he never prayed before. He said, "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, of the mercies and of the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant." Now, Jacob never said anything like that before. God is working mightily in this man's life through these hard experiences. God put Jacob's thigh out of joint and left him with a permanent limp as a reminder of that night and of his dependency on God. I must learn my dependency on God and stop trusting myself in any way whatsoever. Jacob, God is bringing Jacob to that place, and Jacob learned it and was learning it. There has to be purging, and there has to be pruning, and there has to be suffering. There must be. There's no shortcut to growing. We read in 1 Peter 5:10, one of my favorite promises has been since I was saved. "But the God of all grace, which hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while," after that you've suffered a while, "God will make you perfect, strengthen, establish, strengthen, settle you." The multiplication of those promises four times. Perfect, established, strengthened, settled. It's all God's work. I can't establish myself. I can follow God. When God wounds his children, it is for their own good and for his glorious purposes. When we're weak in ourselves, then we can be strong in the Lord. That's all here in this amazing event that God describes for us, which otherwise we would not know. And God describes it, even if we were standing on the shore watching it that night, we wouldn't have any idea what's really going on. The Word of God must explain these things to us. The Word of God is supernatural. The Bible is supernatural. Every page. And in that encounter, God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means having power with God. Jacob? Tricky Jacob? Yes, he's Israel. Why? Because God made him Israel. By position, and also practically, he's leading him along to be what God called him to be. Israel. Father of the nation Israel. The name Israel appears 2,576 times in Scripture. First time is in Genesis 32:28 here. The last time is in the description of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21:12. "And a wall great and high and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels guarding the gates. And names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Israel. The last chapter of the Bible is Israel. And the church is there. And the names of the 12 apostles are there in that city. And the church is there. And Israel is there. And outside are nations of those that are saved outside. Other saved people. Somehow. Apparently those, it seems like to me, those that are not of Israel and not of the church age. And all the others. Don't know for sure. But Israel, it's a big deal. And Jacob named the place Peniel, facing God. Jacob knew that was not a man. And so we stop there for this session.